Now that we have all the kids here, isn't that wonderful? What we're doing this morning is we are wrapping up our series called, it's about how our thoughts, the power of our thoughts. It's called As a Man Thinketh. And so we started off with the series talking about how a transformed life begins with a transformed mind. And then last week, how many of you guys enjoyed having Ron Martinez here talking about anxiety? Yeah, it was wonderful. That was such a great time. And so I love what he had to say. And so this morning, we're talking about the story of Gideon, right? And how God used, in this case, God used the enemy's thoughts against him. So if you don't remember the story, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to learn something pretty incredible. When I was in grade school, which was a long, long time ago, in a land far, far away, I was in grade school, and I don't know what it was, but maybe some of the other guys here can concur with this, but I thought I could run pretty fast. I thought I could run pretty much faster than the other guys. I can jump higher than the other guys. I was stronger than the other guys. I don't know why, because I wasn't athletic. I didn't really play a lot of sports. I played peewee soccer for a little bit, and yes, it was called peewee soccer, and but I just was convinced that I could jump high, run fast, I could lift lots. I had KEDS. Anybody else have KEDS? Yeah, they were the fastest. And so so every year in gym class, I would get this thing. It's a little patch and a little certificate. Every year in gym class, I would get this thing called the Presidential Physical Fitness Award. Right? Did anybody else ever get the Presidential Physical Fitness Award? Yes. Okay. Here's the thing. I would get that award, and there were kids in that class that were far more athletic than I was that wouldn't get it. And I wonder sometimes if it wasn't just simply because I believed I could get it. Like, that was not a big deal. I would just go, and I would do it. And because I just believed I could. And our thoughts and our beliefs have a profound impact on what happens in our lives. Remember, everything starts with a thought. Every sinful action begins with a thought, right? Every good action begins with a thought. We don't just, you know, our bodies don't just do whatever without beginning with a thought first. And so we've been talking about this, how our thoughts and beliefs about ourselves have this profound impact on our lives. And I believe that it's one of the reasons that Scripture reminds us over and over and over and over again that we're loved by God, right? Why does Scripture, why doesn't it just say it once? And we go, okay, well, it says it. Good, I believe it. I'll just write that down, right? But it tells us over and over again that we're loved by God, that we're favored, that we're victorious in Christ. And maybe you have a belief that's really helped you to succeed. Maybe not in the presidential physical fitness sense, but in other senses, right? Maybe your thoughts that you're well-liked. I know a guy who used to say, and he was a preacher, and he would get really nervous about getting up to preach. And he said, every Sunday before I get up to preach, I tell myself, those guys really like you. And it helped him. Okay, and maybe your thoughts are that, you know, you're favored. Okay, and that you're the person at school or at work that other people go to, others trust you, that you're well-liked. Or maybe your thoughts make it really difficult for you to succeed. And for a lot of people, that's the case. You know, the person that tells themselves that they're not welcome somewhere usually find it very difficult to make friends there. And, you know, we see this at in churches. We see this in civic groups. We see this at work. A lot of times people just kind of say to themselves, I'm not very welcome there. That's kind of the story that they tell themselves. And after they've been there a year, 2 years, 3 years, they really don't know anybody. They haven't really made any friends. It's because their belief was, I'm not really welcomed, right? And remember, I've said before, a lot of times people aren't thinking bad thoughts about you. They're just not thinking about you at all because they're too busy thinking about themselves. Because that's how people live, you know? And so so our thoughts make it difficult sometimes for us to succeed. And the person who says, I'll never succeed, usually never succeeds. There's not a whole lot of people out there going, I've got this, I've got God's favor, I'm moving forward in this, and then just sort of like fail over and over and over again. In fact, I was doing coaching with a guy on Friday who has just started a business, and his biggest fear in starting the business is, will I fully believe that this is going to succeed? And his biggest fear was all up here. And so Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we, a lot of times we look at the story of Gideon, which we're going to look at today, and I'm so excited because our kids are going to help us out. But we look at the story of Gideon, and we see it at this, as this against all odds victory for God's people. And it is. It is. But I want to view the story through a different lens this morning. I want to examine how thoughts played the role in Israel's victory and Midian's defeat and what we can learn from it, okay? So we're going to talk about that. Y'all ready for it? Y'all ready for it? All right, let's pray. God, we love you. God, we praise you. Lord, I thank you that you made us the way that you made us. And God, I thank you that you are for us and we are loved. And God, I ask that you would help us to get a hold of the thoughts that you want us to think, to get a hold of the beliefs that you want us to believe. God, to get a hold of you and walk in your ways, God, because you're awesome and you're mighty and you're loving and you're for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to take a look at the book of Judges, chapters 6 and 7. But first, I need a Gideon. I need a Gideon. Someone that would be a Gideon. Oh, gosh. Why is it that I say I need a Gideon and all the girls raise their hand? I'll tell you what. Ruth, you come up here because I want you to be the angel. But I want Kale to come be the Gideon. Come on, be Gideon. How did you get so tall? Someday. Yeah, maybe you too. All right, so I've got the scripture. And so here we have this picture of Gideon, all right? A book of Judges, chapter 6 and 7. And so so we see in this point of Israel's history, Israel started to worship other gods, right? And so what happened was, is God said, fine, if you're going to worship other gods, then I'm going to lift my hand of protection off you. And I'm not going to protect you anymore. You want to go worship other gods. You want to just live however you want. I'm going to take my hand of protection off of you. And these Midianites, something you have to understand about the Midianites. There were tons of Midianites, loads of Midianites. Hordes of Midianites. There were so many Midianites, you couldn't count all the Midianites, all right? There were so many Midianites. And they came, and they attacked Israel, and you know what they did? Is they just pushed Israel kind of off of their land, and then they just put camps there. And they just squatted on Israelite land. And so they would go, and they would raid the cities, they would take the food, they would just take all of their crops and leave the Israelites hungry. Do you look hungry? So you're supposed to be hungry right now. Okay, that's good. Good. That's what I look like at the line in Taco Bell. And then that's what I look like after I eat Taco Bell. So they just squatted on the land. And the people cried out to God for help. Cry out to God for help. Okay, that's pretty good. Cried out to God for help. And this guy named Gideon, God called this guy named Gideon to rescue his people. So stand up for us, Gideon. Yeah, you're not dead yet. Come on, Gideon, get up. Yes, yes. There we go. Angel, help him up. All right. So Gideon was going to rescue Israel. There's only one problem with Gideon. Do you know what it was? Gideon was a coward. He was afraid. Okay, well, that's pretty good. Let's just say that Gideon is over here, and he's actually hiding somewhere. He's hiding I think it's under a threshing floor. Let me see. So it says, the angel of the Lord and came and sat next to the great tree. Let's just say this is the tree, and you're going to sit right there. At Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide grain from the Midianites. So let's just say you're at the bottom of the wine press. There you are. You're threshing wheat. Okay, good. Good threshing. Okay. And so he's there hiding the grain from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, no, not boo. So go ahead and stand up there so that everybody can see you there, angel. And the angel says, mighty hero.
Mighty hero.
Good. The Lord is with you. Excellent. Gideon then said, sir. Well, that's okay. Just we're pretending. Sir, ma'am.
Sir.
Okay. If the Lord is with us, pay attention, Gideon. Okay. Why has all this happened to us?
Why has all this happened to us?
And where are the miracles?
And where are the miracles?
Our ancestors told us about. Okay. Didn't they say? The Lord brought us up out of Egypt.
The Lord brought us up out of Egypt.
Good, okay. But now the Lord has abandoned us.
The Lord has abandoned us. That's not right here. You abandoned us.
Ooh, snap. Okay. And handed us over to the Midianites. Then the angel turned to him and said, go with the strength you have. And rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Well, not quite yet. Yeah, we're not quite ready. Okay. But Gideon said, But Lord. Can I just tell you, parenthetically, that's the deadly but, right? You're the deadly but, Kale. But Lord, when the Lord tells us something and we go, but Lord, that's the deadly but. That's the deadly, okay, then I'm the deadly butt. Okay, I don't mind that. All right? But Lord, Gideon replied. How can I rescue Israel?
My clan is the weakest.
In the whole tribe of Manasseh. Good. And I am the least.
In my entire family.
And the Lord said to him, I will be with you.
And you will destroy
the Midianites. Oh. And then you For like 1 second there, I thought, she is brilliant. She's got the whole chapter memorized. So, woo! All right. Okay. Listen, if you remember one thing this morning and one thing only, I want you to remember this. When there's an argument in your mind between God's thoughts and your thoughts, let God win. Okay? When there's that argument, when those thoughts start coming up in your mind, But Lord, right? Let God win. Because here's the thing that I have learned from experience. And that's when you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. I want you to remember that. Write that down. When you fight for your limitations, But God, I can't. I don't have this talent. I don't have that. I can't do that. I don't have this. You know what? When you fight for your limitations, when you argue with God about those limitations, you get to keep them. You get to keep those limitations, okay? Let God win those arguments. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Okay? So when God says you've got the victory, when God says you're a champion, when God says you've got this, believe Him. Believe Him, right? Because negative thoughts tend to frustrate. Negative thoughts frustrate, they discourage. Negative thoughts delay your destiny. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Not only did Gideon experience victory in the story, but he personally chased down and killed both the Midianite kings himself. Okay? He became a courageous man and one of Israel's leaders. But how did he get there? How did he get there up here? How did he get there in his thoughts? Well, the first thing is, Gideon worshiped God. Gideon worshiped God. Here's the thing about worship, okay? Because it says that when God's angels left, what did he do? He built an altar. Gideon worshiped God. Worship takes our thoughts off of our weakness and puts them on God's strength. Would you rather be focused on your weakness, or would you rather be focused on God's strength? Exactly, okay? So worship takes our thoughts off of our weakness, our inadequacies, and it puts our thoughts on God's strength and God's ability. And so so he worshiped God. Worship shakes off the thoughts that the enemy tries to stick in our heads, right? Y'all ever come on a Sunday morning and you've got all sorts of just negativity rolling around in your head and all sorts of things, and you just go, you know what, this morning, God, I'm just going to worship you with abandon. And all of a sudden it's like, where'd they go? Right? Where'd they go? And so he worshiped God. Worship brings freedom. Worship brings hope. Okay? And then the next thing is that Gideon obeyed God even when he was afraid. Gideon obeyed God even when he was afraid. You know, the life of a believer is not an easy life. Sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes God calls us to do things that we're not used to doing, or that we've never done before, or that we feel completely inadequate for. But he did it afraid. He did it anyway, all right? Because if you read later on in the story, God tells Gideon to go and tear down the idols in Israel that were built to false gods. And those of you who know the story, like Ruth, who can just recite it, right? You know that what Gideon did is he obeyed God, but he went and did it in the middle of the night because he was afraid. He just went and did it when nobody could see him, you know. He was scared. And so he did it, but he did it. And a lot of times, what do? You know, we like to look at, when we read the story of Peter, right? And we go, oh yeah, Peter stepped out of the boat and he sank. And we talk about what a horrible saint Peter was. You know, look, he stepped out of the boat and he sank. He's the only one of the 12 that stepped out of the boat. You know what I mean? So sometimes we just need to step out of the boat. We need to do it, even though we're afraid to do it. And when we do anything significant for the Lord, if you do anything that is beyond just, you know, the comfortable day-to-day, it's sometimes you have to do it afraid. You know, people who start businesses, a lot of times they start businesses with their knees knocking. You know, when we started this church, with our hands trembling and knees knocking, right? Anybody who's ever had children here, you did it with knees knocking. You raised teenagers, you almost fainted, right? Okay, so we do it afraid. We do it afraid. And so never let fearful thoughts stop you from doing what pleases the Lord. Just do it afraid, okay? And your courage will grow. Your courage will grow. Just do it afraid, all right? And so the third thing is that Gideon trusted in God's power and strength. He trusted in God's power and strength. Where did our Gideon go? Where's Cale? Come on back, Gideon. Come on back. All right? Wait, just Gideon. The angel, you're all set. You're all set. You're good. You are good. You're good. No! All right, come back. No, wait, go sit down. No, I'm just kidding. Come on back. So let's do. Let's get two more. I need two Midianites. Let's see, two more volunteers. Okay, Aheva, come on, and Allie. Yes. All right. So we got Aheva and Allie. So let's have Aheva and Allie. You're gonna stand right over here by this barrel right there. This right here. You know what this is? This is the Midianite camp, and you guys are Midianites. Okay, and. Let's have Ruth, we'll have you stand right here. But you're not an angel this time. We'll explain what you are in just a little bit. So you're right here, you can face there. And then we'll have Gideon here. Gideon, you're right there. All right. So you guys all set? Don't they look good? Okay. So Gideon trusted in God's power and strength. And so just like I mentioned about worship, we've got to focus on God's ability instead of our inability. Because you know what? We don't have to look very hard to find our own inabilities, right? We don't have to look very hard to find the things in us that are our own inabilities. We've got to trust in God's power. And so you may think that you're unable to get through your current trial, but with God's help, you can, okay? You may think that you don't have what it takes to repair that relationship. You may think you don't have what it takes to build that business. You may think you don't have what it takes to overcome that addiction. But with God's power, you can. Okay? I want everybody to say this with me. Say, with God's power, I can. That's good. Okay? So in Judges chapter 7, verses 12 through 15, what we see here in the Midianites, these two Midianites there standing around the barrel, we see what the opposite effect, what negative thinking can do. Right? And so we see how it leads to the Midianites' demise. All right? So the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Well, there's two of them. Two swarms of locusts. All right? There they are. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore. Remember I said there were loads of them. There were tons of them. There are hordes of Midianites. Okay? And so the Bible says there were too many to count. And so we've got Gideon right here. Hold on, Gideon. I got to get something. I got to get something for the angel. Okay. Okay. So the armies, okay. Says the armies of, okay, blah, blah, blah. I read that. Okay. Gideon crept out. Okay, so angel, you come over here. See? Yeah, well, you're not even that right now, because I'll show you what you are. So you're just right here. You're right there. Okay. So Gideon crept up on them. So creep up behind them. Okay. Right about there. That's pretty good. And so what Gideon is doing is he's spying on the Midianites. He's listening to their conversation. He wants to hear what they're saying. So Gideon's back there spying. Good, there he is. Okay. You're good, yes. So Gideon crept on just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. So Allie was telling Aheva about this dream. Okay. The man said, I had this dream. Yes. Okay, good. Say it again. That says, and in this dream, let's put this on right there. Oh, wait, that's your head hole. There we go. No, you're a loaf of bread. Okay. So, wait right there, Ruth. Okay. So in my dream, a loaf of barley bread. Yes, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. Yes. It hit a tent. Okay, hit a tent. There we go. Yeah, hit a tent. It turned it over and knocked it flat. Just pretend it knocked it flat. Okay, good. His companion answered, Aheva, all right, Gideon, that's enough. Okay. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. Joash. Yeah. Son of Joash.
Yes. The Israelite. Yes.
When Gideon heard this dream,
Gideon, and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord.
He bowed in worship before the Lord. Just the Lord. Up there. He bowed in worship before the Lord.
Okay, good. Then he returned to the Israelite camp.
You can come over here, Israelite camp. Just come over here. He returned to the Israelite camp. And let's just say, over here. Right there. He returned to the Israelite camp. No, but the barley bread cannot be barley bread now. Yes? Okay. He turned to the Israelite camp. Let's say this is the Israelite camp. All these people. Okay? And he shouted, "Get up!
Get up!
For the Lord has given you,
victory!
Over the Midianite hordes.
And the Israelites shouted, "Yeah! Woo!" All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you, guys. Good job.
Have a seat. Very good.
See, the enemy, when you read this story, you see how the enemy was already defeated in their thoughts. Someone had a dream about barley bread rolling into the camp. I don't know about you, but if I were to have that dream, I don't know if that would instill all sorts of fear in me. I'd probably think, I shouldn't have ate so much barley bread last night, you know. But these guys were talking about it, and they were talking about it and stirring up their fears, okay? And so all Gideon had to do was tell his men to surround the camp. And if you read the rest of the story, what did he do? He just had to make a bunch of noise, right? Everybody surround the camp and make a bunch of noise. And the Midianites, they were so stirred up in their attitude of defeat and thoughts of defeat. You remember what they started doing? Right? I just heard a bunch of noise. What do we do? I don't know. And they just start killing each other. You know, it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. All Gideon had to do was tell them to surround the camp and make a bunch of noise. God used their thinking to create confusion and their own slaughter of each other. Bonus point, real quick, bonus point. Your talk affects your thoughts, which affects your life. You ever notice that you could go into work in a pretty good mood, but when you start doing that water cooler talk and you start doing that talk, it starts affecting your attitude and your beliefs towards your job, right? Your talk affects your thoughts. One of the best ways that remember how we talked about a couple weeks ago about taking our thoughts captive, right? One of the best ways that you can take your thoughts captive and you can direct them towards God's thoughts is just saying certain words out loud. That's what we talked about worship. It's just saying certain things out loud, hearing yourself say, "But God is for me, who can be against me? But God called me to this, and where God guides, he provides. And God loves me, and he's crazy about me, and he's given me victory." And when we start to say these things, it affects our thoughts, and our thoughts affect our lives, right? And the last thing is this. Think and act confidently and your confidence will grow. Think and act confidently and your confidence will grow. Right? We tend to act tentatively thinking that our confidence will grow once we've experienced some success. Right? Okay? Think about that. Gideon had not experienced success yet. But remember how his confidence grew. He said, "The Lord has given us victory." And so we need to use our words, right? Because the power of life and death are in the tongue. Y'all with me there? The power of life and death are in the tongue. And we begin to say things that affects our thoughts, that affects our beliefs. Our confidence will grow. While our confidence may grow with success, it will grow much quicker if we believe that God is for us, that his power is at work in us, that he is always with us. And so when Gideon knew that it was time to confront the Midianites, remember, he heard the dream. He started to worship God. We worship God. We focus on his strength instead of our weakness, right? He was so confident in God's strength that they were going to win this thing, he didn't even tell his men to bring swords. He told them to bring pots, clay pots, right? He told them, "Bring a bunch of jars, guys, and we'll break them, and the noise will freak them out." Okay? And he did. He said, "Didn't even tell them to bring swords." So here's what I want to do this morning. We're going to do baptisms in just a minute here.
But I just want to close with a question. I really want to close with a question. And the question is this. What would be different in your life if you just let God win the arguments in your mind? What would be different in your life? Think about that for just a second. How would your life be different? What would be different if you just let God win the arguments? What would be different in your life if you focused on God's strength instead of your weakness? How would your life be different? How would your health be different if you focused on God's strength instead of your weakness? How would your relationships be different if you focused on God's strength instead of your weakness? How would your work be different? How would your finances be different if you focused on God's strength instead of your weakness? That's an important question to ask. If you change the way that you talk about your God-given dreams and about your circumstances, what would be different? What would be different? And what would be different in your life if you truly trusted God? Like really trusted God, right? It's so easy to say, I'm trusting God. Those are easy words to say, but difficult to act out. And so what I want to do is I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to have baptisms. I'm really excited about that. But I want that question to kind of stir in your mind today. I want you to take that question home with you. Write it down. Write it on your hand. Right? Write it on your mirror. Write it someplace so that you can ask yourself that question over and over. What would be different? What would be different in my life if I just let God win the argument in my mind? And so let's just go ahead and pray. God, I thank you that you're for us. I thank you, God, that your strength is sufficient. I thank you, Lord, that it's not about our weakness, it's about your strength. And Lord, we pray that we would be people whose thoughts agree with your thoughts, whose words agree with your words. Lord, that we wouldn't argue with you, that we wouldn't be, hey, but God, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. God, but God, but God. But instead, we would just agree with you and focus on your strength. Lord, I know that if we really love you, then we've got to trust you. And we want to be people who love you and show that love by trusting you completely. Lord, you're good. In Jesus' name, amen.